Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. We are looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we are looking at verse 9. Ecclesiastes, after the book of Proverbs, after the book of Psalms, chapter 3, verse 9 says, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?" Amen. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? So this morning we want to talk about running out of time. Running out of time. Can we say that together, please? Amen. One more time for the Lord. Running out of time. Amen. Amen. So you may be seated as we look. This is December already. Amen. This year just seemed like it flew by. Amen. Time, somebody said, is filled with swift transition. Nor on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hands. Because time is filled with swift transition. Amen. Some things you cannot afford to run out of. Some things are just too important to be without. Some things you cannot afford to miss out on. And you won't miss out on it if you don't run out of time. The aim of our sermon is for us to not be deceived by activity, for us not to be deceived about activity. Activity don't mean productivity. Amen. We got a lot of emotion, but no motion. There's a difference between doing the church work and doing the work of the church. And we can do those things if we don't run out of time. Running out of time, we often have heard of things running out. We know that you can run out when it comes to making a score. You can run out when it comes to shopping. And you can run out when it comes to salvation. There are those who could have won a game. They could have made another bucket. They could have gained some more yards. But they ran out of time. It's not that they couldn't have won. They had the ability to beat the other team. But they ran out of time. Oh, how sad it can be to have potential that you can't use because you don't have legally any more time. You can run out of time. Many will do it shopping this year. They will wait till the last minute to get that present. And the sales will only last for so long. But if you're not careful, time will keep you from getting that ideal gift that you needed. Amen. But as I said, you can also run out of time when it comes to salvation. We won't always have the opportunity to get saved. A lot of people are waiting and procrastinating, and they're putting off today for what they can do tomorrow. But do you know that there will be a lot of people who will be in hell because they let time run out on them? He said, oh, one day I'm going to give my life to the Lord. One day, I'm going to get serious about serving God. I plan to. But what they didn't know is that time had already been set. And they did not have as much time as they thought. How much time do we have before we run out? People don't plan to die, you know. It slip up on them. But there is a time. But not only when it comes to games, gifts, and the gospel, but we look at this story of Solomon, and we believe that Solomon wrote about wisdom in Proverbs, but he wrote about foolishness in Ecclesiastes. He wrote about wisdom in Proverbs when he was younger. But many believe that at this point, according to as you study the text, he is running out of time. He is in his old age, and Solomon is sharing with us some things that he found out. Amen. Anybody here ever lived something? Solomon now is not talking about what he heard. Solomon here is talking about what he knows. Amen. And so as we look at this life this morning of Solomon, as we look at this subject, as we look at this text, what we find out is that we have to give attention to some things if we don't want to run out of time. There's some things we have to give attention to. We have to give attention to productivity. Amen. We have to give attention to that which is permanent. We have to give attention to purpose. Amen. Before we run out of time. We may not get to it today, but we know that in the first chapter of this book, we find out that Solomon identifies himself as the preacher. Verse 1, chapter 1, the preacher, the son of David. Amen. He was the king of Jerusalem. He does not say his name nowhere in the book. But we know he writes here about literature, about wisdom literature. And there were only three kings of Israel, and he was mostly one who talked about wisdom, and he was the son of David. And we know that there was only one of David's son that was a king. So he writes, and he shares with us the vanity of vanities. All is vanity. That phraseology that he used there, the vanity of vanities. Amen. The Bible talks off and on, use this phraseology. It says, you've heard of the Holy of Holies. Amen. Amen. The Holy of Holies. This is the ultimate of vanity. Vanity is already bad, but the vanity of vanities. Amen. Amen. The vanity of vanities. You understand what I'm saying? The vanity. Amen. We look at vanity. That Hebrew word is translated really to mean breath. It means breath. It means vapor. It means emptiness. Amen. Let us know that life is extinguished quickly. We run out of time quickly. Life is over quickly. James said, life is like a vapor. You've seen it when you warm your hot water for your tea or your coffee, and the vapor shows up and it disappears. Yes, sir. Amen. And it lets us know that we're running out of time. That life is vain, life is quick, but life is also empty. Life is empty. Life is empty. Life is empty. And so Solomon writes, and he says that the vanity of vanity, says the preacher. He calls himself a preacher. It's translated teacher. The kings did teach as well as rule. And we find out that he's teaching here about vanity. And he says the vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All is vanity. Amen. Not some is vanity, but all is vanity. Can everybody say all? Amen. Not some of life is vanity, but all is vanity. Solomon is letting us know what goes on. Amen. As we consider here life. Amen. Life is vain. Life is empty. There is no fulfillment in life. There is there is no satisfaction in life. And so Solomon writes here, and he says in verse 2, what labor, what profit, verse 3, hath a man in all his labor, which he take under the sun? Amen. Under the sun. What is he saying? He talks about life under the sun. Here he is talking about life from man's viewpoint. Amen. From man's viewpoint, life under the sun is routine. Life under the sun is monotonous. Life under the sun is perfunctory. He says, Solomon says that life, he said, I tried it all, and I found out that I was disappointed. He said, I had it all. He says that, that's one problem. I was in Proverbs. I guess I got to go back here. Get back over here. I mean, Ecclesiastes is where I sit. I mean, he says that life He says one generation come on the scene, another one goes off. The sun goes up and the sun goes down. He says in verse 7, the river run into the sea and it doesn't get full, and that runs into another sea. He said life over and over again does not bring satisfaction. History seems to be repeating itself. He said there's nothing really new under the sun, because God did not put any other material under the sun. There's no new things under the sun. You may rearrange what's here, but there's really nothing new under the sun. God supplied the earth with resources, and that's all he gave it. And there's really nothing new under the sun. Solomon says, I've tried it all. I've tried what others tried. I've had it all. And he says, I've seen in verse 14 the work that are done under the sun. Solomon. And he said, behold, look, all of it is vanity and vexation of spirit. It just wear you out. He says, I spoke to my own heart and I said, you know, you can get you a greater state in verse 16. And I went and got more wisdom. And he says, I even became an educated man. I was smart and I gave my heart to wisdom, verse 17. And I concluded that it was vexation of spirit. He says, in much wisdom, there's grief. He said, since my wisdom didn't satisfy me, Solomon said, I tried pleasure. Amen. In verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I enjoyed pleasure. And behold, pleasure was vanity. Pleasure is vanity. Solomon says, unless I bore you this morning, he says, I drunk all the wine. I had the women. He said, I had the houses. In verse 4, I planted vineyards and I planted gardens and I had pools of water and I had manservants and I had maidservants. I had singers. I had a women's chorus. I had a male chorus. Solomon says, I had all of those things. And he says, and I had the musical instruments in verse 8 of chapter 2. And then he said, when I got through with all that, I did whatever my eyes desired. I kept not from me. I had the power. I had the money. I could get it. And he said, I tried it all. I withheld not my heart from anything that it wanted. And he says, and I looked on the work of man's hands that man has wrought in verse 11 in chapter 2. And he said, all of it is vanity. All of it is empty, is what he's saying. It's not fulfilling. I had materialism. I had pleasure. I had knowledge, wisdom. But I discovered that it was not fulfilling. It was the vanity of vanity. It left me empty. It did not satisfy. And in other words, what he's saying is there was no productivity coming out of it. It was just routine, and it was under the sun, and that's where the problem was. It's when you talk about the vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It is a view of man under the sun. It is a view of life apart from God. It's down here on earth. It's life under the sun. He said, life under the sun just goes round and round and round, no matter what you get, no matter how much you get, no matter how much you own. He says, without God under the sun, that I could not find no fulfillment. I had stuff. I had pleasure. I had materialism. I had it all. I was the smartest. I was the richest. And when I got through with it all, he says, I was unfulfilled. I was empty. It's about life under the sun. Hey, Lord have mercy. He said it's about life under the sun. It was just a lot of movement, but I was not happy. I was not fulfilled. Life under the sun. He said life under the sun was like living like an animal. Amen. That's what he said. He says it's animalistic, life under the sun. He says at the end of verse 18 of chapter 3, as he develops this text, he says that I'm just like the beast. I'm just like the animal. But human life is not supposed to be like animal life. You see, the animal is not doing anything but the same thing he's been doing. You may give him rights, but he can't do nothing. He can't change anything. You won't see him riding around on a car. You won't see no rabbits say, "I'm tired of running." You don't see them building any factories. You don't see them teaching any classes. You don't see them with any cognitive skills. Animalistic life is a life that is just routine. Goes over and over and over, and they are programmed instinctively to do the same thing over. Ultimately, they do not change or improve their environment. They keep doing the same thing, and they've been doing it ever since you've known about them. For 6,000 years, they've been doing the same thing, no changes. You've never seen a beaver riding around on a truck. Or got tennis shoes on because didn't want to hurt his feet. But man is made in the image of God. And so when he cuts himself off from above the sun, he begins to live like an animal. So many are trying to find pleasure and peace under the sun. Truth of the matter is, we got to go higher. We got to go much higher. If you want to find fulfillment, if you don't want to be empty, if you don't want to be unsatisfied, he says that you've got to go higher. You got to go further up. If you're planning to do anything, you got to go beyond being under the sun. And what he says here is we live in a world where people are, it's possible for you to just be doing a lot of things, but there is really no productivity. There's really no progress. If you're not careful, you just work up a lot of sweat doing nothing. And you can be deceived. You can be deceived into thinking because you got a car and you drove somewhere that you did something. You can get in the car and you see people sailing down the road. I got to run to the other side of town. I got to run over here and I got to run over there and I got to run back. Zoom. And it's the idea that if I'm moving, I must be doing something. Like you're really getting somewhere. But the truth of the matter is, all you did was get on here and got off over there. Business and commercialism could have been commercialized, and we could have had a better environment, and we could have had better exercise, and no doubt had better health and weight if we'd have been localized, centralized. But we decided to work way across town, and so we got to zoom way across town, or we zoom and way up to the store, and we think that just because we moved that we did something. The reality of the situation is that you could have built the place you want to work for right here and drive no, and didn't need a car. It's possible for you to be doing nothing quick and going nowhere fast.